Today's segment of Sound Balming is brought to you by Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care. I cannot express to you how much we love, love, love their products. Although we use them all year, as the weather gets colder, we need these products even more. The dreaded drop in temperature, the dryness, the itchiness, and the unnecessary flakiness is inevitable. Shea Butter from Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Body Care is the only thing that works for my skin and hair needs. Not only do these products cure my dry skin, the whipped butter goes on smoothly and doesn't leave that uncomfortably thick, sticky residue. Bonus? It smells absolutely amazing. There are so many different scents to choose from too. Not only do they carry skincare products, there are products for authentic living, face, shower, hair and beard, spritzers and perfumes, and bath products. Let me tell you, we cannot even keep the stuff in the studio. The entire production team, as well as all our children, use Jimmy and Mary's product. Jimmy and Mary's take pride in creating quality, handcrafted products from simple ingredients for the entire family. Their products are made for all skin types and are 100% handmade, 100% vegan, and 100% cruelty-free. Skincare is important. Moisture is key, and keeping our skin and hair hydrated is essential. I cannot emphasize how much we trust Jimmy and Mary's for all of our skincare needs. Hurry on up to jimmyandmarys.com and check out their products. Did I mention service is fast and efficient too? Don't forget to mention that you heard about Jimmy and Mary's authentic skincare on Sound Balming. Use the discount code SOUNDBALM20 to get 15% off. That's SOUNDBALM20 for 15% off at Jimmy and Mary's Authentic Skin Care.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Balming. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We're going to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
We come to drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb.
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show,
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of the day it is, you are right here with the right person at the right time. Welcome to my show. I am Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, the creator of Soundbomb. And my goal with this show is to introduce you to people with ideas that will help you unlock your full potential, like today's guest, Dr. Shelly Johnson. Now, you know, Soundbombers, most people would consider having high standards a good thing. I know I work on this show daily and I'm always constantly trying to ebb and flow and make it much better. But striving for excellence can show that you have a good work ethic and a strength of character. That's a good thing. However, high standards can also push you to reach your peak level of performance. For example, athletes often train long and hard to reach excellence in their sports. Well, perfectionism, on the other hand, involves a tendency to set standards that are so high that either they cannot be met or are only met with great difficulty. Perfectionists tend to believe that anything short of perfection is horrible and that even minor imperfections will lead to catastrophe. So answer these questions. Are you obsessed with perfection? Do you constantly let yourself down no matter how well you do? Do you expect too much from those around you? And even though we live in an imperfect world, there are so many who are obsessed with making their lives absolutely perfect. Well, my next guest will help us unpack some of these questions. Dr. Shelly Johnson is an artist, and author of 3 logic and critical thinking textbooks, which are published by Classical Academic Press, Argument Builder, Discovery of Deduction co-author, and Everyday Debate. And she teaches ethics and variety of philosophy classes at Georgetown College in Kentucky. In addition to her books, Shelley is a blogger at Love is Stronger. I love that. And she writes about living from the inside out to build more resilient lives. I'm so excited that Dr. Shelley Johnson decided to join me today in the Bomb Shelter. Shelley, welcome to Sound Bombing. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you, Lamar. I am so excited to be here today. I am doing great. And I'm just really excited about our time together and the discussion we're going to have.
I like Shelley. Before we came with the show, I was like, well, did you listen to the show? She said, no, but I've done my research on you, Dr. Shields. I hope that's a good thing, Shelley. Can I call you Shelley, Doctor? Which one
yes,
do you prefer?
Please call me Shelley. Can I call you Lamar?
Of course. I always tell people you add doctor to it. That means I have more student loans than you. That's all that really, really matters. Well, Shelley, I'm so excited to have you today. When I shared with my partner who I work with in my company, I shared your article with her. So I heard about you from an article that you wrote entitled How I Overcame the Stress of Perfectionism. By learning to play again. And when I shared it with my partner, and I'm going to say her name, Dr. Marina Gilmore, because she knows I love her. She says, I cannot wait to hear this interview because I know Shelley is going to talk about me. So Shelley, I read the article and I'm excited to bring you here. Let's talk about that. What is the root cause of perfectionism?
Right. So Lamar, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think we could talk about several roots. Probably people would have different opinions about this, but in my opinion, the root cause of perfectionism, I think, is a doubt about our intrinsic worth. It's a worry that we are not good enough or worthy enough in ourselves as we are right now. And when we struggle with a sense of our intrinsic worth, this sense that we're not worthy as we are, this pushes us to prove our worth through external achievements because that's all we have left. And so we run around doing stuff, trying to be more, trying to do more to prove our worth. And then if that's the only way that we can prove our worth is through these external standards, well, then any failure we have, any setback, any obstacle calls our worth into question for ourselves. And that's how perfectionism develops, this idea that we have to be perfect all the time. And underneath that is the fear that we're not worthy if we're not perfect.
And where does that come from? Is that something that is innate when we come out the womb? Is it something that when we surround ourselves with family, friends, colleagues, TV, media, where would you say that comes from?
Oh man, I love these questions because I've been thinking about this for a long time. So I would suggest that there are 2 main causes. There are internal causes and external causes. So one of the causes, the internal cause, just comes from being a human being who comes into the world not understanding everything. I mean, all of us know, like, we have a lot to learn as babies, as young children, as young adults, even as adults, we're learning things. And so one of our primary questions is, who am I? Do I belong here? What do I need to do to succeed? And it takes us a while to figure that out. And so sometimes, as we're trying to figure out who we are, if we belong, how do we succeed? What happens is we start being afraid that we don't belong, that we're not going to be able to exceed, that we'll never figure out who we are. And that can cause us to, maybe out of fear, develop these really rigid standards of perfectionism to try to combat this fear we have that we don't belong, that we can't succeed, that maybe we don't have a purpose. But then there are these external pressures too. So people in the world sometimes communicate to us, and it can sometimes be parents, it can be teachers, it can be well-meaning friends, it can be politicians. They develop ideas about the world and who belongs here and who doesn't. And sometimes, unfortunately, people will communicate false messages to us, messages like, you only belong, you only matter if you achieve such and such, rather than realizing that everybody has intrinsic worth. So I think it's both internal and external.
So Shelley, let's talk about your personal story. I know when I read the article, the very first thing it said was, I am a recovering perfectionist and learning to play again saved me. Talk to me about that? What does that actually mean?
Yes. Okay, great. Well, I'll tell you kind of the gist and then you can ask some more questions. So first of all, I had the pleasure of growing up in Oregon in a big extended family. I played all the time. We just built forts. We played hide and go seek. I went to a really cool public school that had these amazing opportunities for playing in gym class. I remember vividly spending 3 weeks in a gymnastics unit, teaching myself to do a walkover. And Lamar, I did not take gymnastics as a child, so this was hard for me. Like, it took me 3 weeks to accomplish this. And I remember never once thinking, I am a failure because it's so hard to do this backward walkover. I just kept practicing every day and I did it and I was so excited. And you know what? I was caught up in playfulness. I was caught up in enjoying the process and exploring my capabilities. And that's the power of play, is that it helps us to become more powerful. Well, unfortunately, as I got older, I forgot the lessons of playfulness and I started worrying about whether I was good enough rather than realizing all of the power and potential I had that I could develop. So I started looking at and listening to all of the things that people said I had to do to be good enough. And, you know, for both young women and men, this is things like you have to be really smart or you have to have certain talents or you have to look a certain way or have a certain kind of body or that sort of thing. And so I started worrying about all of those things and running around trying to do more, to be more, to try to prove that I was worthy. And to make a long story short, I eventually reached a crashing point where I could not do that anymore. Not only did it exhaust me, I realized it was impossible. I realized that I would never be able to prove to everybody that I was worthy. So honestly, I kind of gave up for a while. I just kind of stopped trying. And then just by chance, a friend of mine, Amy, we started taking fencing lessons together. I had wanted to take fencing lessons for a long time. Lamar, I was horrible at fencing. Like, I'm not great at it. I'd never taken it before, but it was so fun. I just got involved in the moment. And I had this connection, this spark that I had felt when I was a child. And suddenly I realized, it doesn't matter if I'm good at it. It doesn't matter what people think. What matters is that I'm here, that I'm enjoying this, that I'm learning new things, and that I am becoming a more powerful person. And suddenly I realized, well, that is what I've been missing. I have been missing that playful attitude, and I've been worrying about being perfect all this time. And that realization, along with several others, just really changed how I approached life. So that's what I mean when I say I'm a recovering perfectionist, and playfulness saved me.
Well, listen, my perfectionists that are listening and my perfectionists who are still recovering, my friend Shelly is dropping some jewels. So I'm hoping that you are really, really paying attention. And I'm hoping that you're taking some notes. So you talked about this sort of this aha moment when you start to try different things. And also you start to maybe question sort of where you were and where you are in your perfectionist walk. Let's start right there, Shelly. What are then some questions to help someone quiet their inner perfectionist? What are some questions right. to help them quiet that and maybe to then sort of grow out of that situation? And then what are some things that you did to help you move forward?
Good. So I imagine these questions you're asking about are maybe questions people can ask to help them recognize, am I indeed a perfectionist? And how is this affecting me? And maybe one of the questions you can ask is, do I allow myself to make my mistakes? Do I value the process and the curiosity and the joy of learning as much as I do achieving an end product? Do I permit myself to be a beginner, to not know things and to have to ask and to have to try things out? And the more you struggle with those things, letting yourself being a beginner, letting yourself making mistakes, letting yourself enjoy process, probably the more you struggle with those, the more you can realize the more you're struggling with perfectionism. So I think the next important question is to ask yourself, How are these tendencies, the tendency to not let yourself make mistakes, the tendency to not let yourself be a beginner, how is this causing me pain? How is this preventing me from growing? How is this disrupting my process of discovery. And if you ask yourself those things, I think you're going to realize that those perfectionist tendencies are really keeping you from the very thing that you want to do, which is to grow, to achieve, to become a better, wiser person. So those are some helpful questions to get you going. And then, you asked, what are some of the things that I did that helped me move out of perfectionism? I think one of the biggest things that I started doing was to develop this really clear division between playful mode and perfectionist mode in my mind. So when I'm in playful mode, I'm joyful, I'm curious. If I make a mistake, I take the attitude of saying, oops, oh well, I can learn from that. What can I learn? How can I do things differently? And when I'm in perfectionist mode, I have this very harsh critical voice in my head that says, look at you, what are you doing? Why aren't you further along? Why aren't you doing well? And just by identifying those two modes in my mind, I can now figure out when I'm slipping in to perfectionist mode. And one of the best things I do to switch out of perfectionist mode is just do, I act like my best teacher or my best coach. And I start saying, Shelly, you're doing great. Let's slow things down. Let's stop for a minute. Let's think about this. Let's get curious. What's going on? And just by being my own teacher, being my own coach, becoming curious, that really helps me to switch out.
Those are some great questions, Shelly, that you're sharing with my audience. To keep on the same light, I want to ask you a different question, but it has a lot to do with what you just said. Did your need for getting it right interfere with your relationships? And do you see that happening in other people who are perfectionists? Because I think about my partner and she's growing, and I know she's going to listen to this. I'm watching her grow and grow and grow. And I remember us having a conversation about wanting to get it right. And then I think about one of my other business partners who's an artist, and it would take him so long to finish a piece of not just an artwork, but it could be a design. And he talked about this whole concept of being a perfectionist. And I would always say, only the creator, only the light, only the one, only God, however you define it, is a level of perfectionist. But I know that that can then destroy relationships with individuals, especially if you're in an intimate relationship with them, or if you're working with them. Like I just gave you an example of someone working on a project and we have a deadline and he or she says, I need to get it this way. And it's never going to be that way. Did your need for getting it right interfere with your relationships? And if so, what did you do to then sort of shift that?
Yes. Yes. So one of the things that I can mention, two things. So I've been a teacher for over 25 years, and I've actually also been married for over 25 years too. And I started teaching about the same time I got married. And one of the things that I noticed is that when I was a perfectionist, I unconsciously sometimes was very concerned about how the performance of my students and potentially of my husband might reflect on me. So when you're a perfectionist, you not only think that you have to be perfect to look good to others, you often feel like the people around you who represent you in some way have to be perfect to reflect well on you. And so honestly, I think I was a very controlling person when I was perfectionistic. I tried to control things. I tried to control people so that they wouldn't do things that reflected poorly on me. And what I've noticed is that as I have become more gentle and playful with myself, I become more gentle and playful with others, with my students, with my husband, and with other people in my life. And what I've told myself is that just like I need to have the space to explore, to be curious, to make mistakes, to figure things out, so do the people in my life, so do my students, so do my husband. And so I'm much better able to offer grace, to offer space, to let them do their thing and to figure things out and to recognize it really doesn't have anything to do with me. We're all on our different path trying to figure things out. And we can give each other grace to do that.
Well, I know as a philosopher, and I can't believe that I have a real philosopher in my space. You think of philosophers, you think of these old white men smoking pipes or smoking cigars with these old suits. But I got a real live philosopher in the midst of being in space with me. And so I'm excited about that. And I know as a philosopher, you talk about several things, but one of the things I want to talk about that's really connected to this issue of perfectionism is the factors of resilience. Talk to me about resilience and what factors affect resilience And then how are we becoming more resilient in the age of police brutality, in the age of COVID, in the age of all the isms, homophobia, in the age of women not making the money that they should, in the age of Asians being killed or being assaulted at a higher rate? As a philosopher, what factors affect resilience?
That's right. Oh, such good questions. Goodness. Well, so first of all, let me tell you how I define resilience. Mm-hmm. So I define, and I should point out that my definition of resilience is a definition that I've developed with my colleague, Dr. Carrie Cook, professor of English at Georgetown College. So it's a definition that we have developed in working with developing some ideas for a potential teaching and learning and resource center we're going to have in the future at Georgetown. So our definition is that resilience is our ability to rise, to learn, to flex, and to thrive. So if I can briefly mention, rising is rising to any challenges that we have. Learning is being able to understand that we don't have all the answers right now. We have to learn as we're rising to challenges. And learning requires flexibility because it often requires us to recognize that we don't have all the answers, that we may need to do some things differently, that some patterns and beliefs and habits we've had, that we have to change those. And then thriving is our ability to recognize that change does not spell disaster necessarily. I mean, it can. Sometimes change can be bad. But you know what? Change, if we look at it right and pursue it right, means hope, means progress, means greater humanization and fairness and justice for everybody. So to take your question about resilience in this time in our life where we are, you know, we're suffering police brutality, COVID, homophobia, all these things that you mentioned. I think that we have just an excellent opportunity to practice resilience and to recognize that this is the skill that we need to succeed in the world. And one of the exciting things about resilience is that you are not born either being resilient or not being resilient. You have the capacity to develop resilience, and you can do specific habits or you can practice specific things, and you can act in specific ways to help you be more resilient. So just quickly, I wrote my dissertation on education and justice, education and the good society. And actually this my dissertation is what inspired my work in resilience. So I was motivated by this question. How do we make sure that we educate so we encourage a more just, resilient society? And what I figured out in the end is that it is really important that we develop virtues like love, compassion, hope, playfulness, and critical self-reflection. Because when we do those things, what we're actually doing is we're practicing rising, learning, flexing, and thriving right there. So I would say, anybody wants to understand how to be more resilient in these times, make love a priority, make hope a priority, make playfulness and critical self-reflection a priority. That's one of the best ways.
Now, there's a new theme on the horizon called grit.
Yeah,
we're seeing this and playing out in schools and programs and things of that nature. Would you say that grit and resiliency would be one and the same, or would you say that they're actually different?
That's an excellent question, right? So Dr. Angela Duckworth has written a book called Grit, and she is a student of Martin Seligman at UPenn, and they are folks who have researched grit a lot. Dr. Martin Seligman researches resilience and flourishing. Okay, so what I would argue, as best as I can tell from my research in this area, is that grit is one component of resilience. And understand, different people define resilience in different ways. Some people just argue that resilience is our ability to bounce back from obstacles. I think it's a broader skill set, this rise, learn, flex, and thrive. Grit is the ability to persist in the face of setbacks, to persist in the face of difficulty. So I think that it is an essential and really important component of resilience, but it's not the only part, only component.
As I'm listening to your definition, I'm thinking of a quote by George O'Keefe, when she says, "I've been absolutely terrified every moment of my life, and I've never let it keep me from doing a single thing I wanted to do." Would you say that that is an example of resilience and or grit?
Yeah. Yes, I would now. And I want to mention first, so I totally love that. That quote by George O'Keefe is great. And I really, identify with it. So of course, we have to understand there's a difference between the terror that comes from sensing something is wrong, something is off, something could hurt us badly. But then there's the terror of stepping into the unknown. And if I can just give a quick example, because I think this relates to George O'Keefe's quote. So I remember this was when I was still really in my playful mode, when I was, I think I remember being in fifth grade when I did this. We had a local swimming pool and there was a high dive there. And I remember swimming in my pool, looking at the high dive, thinking, I want to jump off that. And I am terrified. I am terrified of jumping off the high dive. But I somehow decided that I was going to do it three times. That was my goal for that day. And I was in this really playful mode. And I think I was just thinking, like, how will I change? What will I be like? What will it feel like? So I did it. I jumped off that thing three times. And it terrified me. And I finished it. And I realized, well, my goodness, I can do this. I can do things that scare me. And I can become a braver person. So I love that quote by O'Keefe, because I think what she's recognizing is that all of us are constantly called to become bigger, braver, more loving and adventurous and wild versions of ourselves. And that process is terrifying because it requires us to step into this arena that, you know, we don't really know exactly what's going to happen. But I think if we can recognize that there's good terror, there's good fear that calls us to be a bigger version of ourselves, then we can not let that stop us. And that's what rising to the challenge is. That's why this definition of mine, rise, learn, flex, and thrive, is so important. We are rising to the challenge, and that's always scary.
Well, you are rising. You are definitely rising to the occasion and to the challenge, because you write about perfectionism, you write about resilience, but then you also have this other softer side where you write about love. And you blog at Love is Stronger. What is the focus of your blog, and how might people benefit from reading it?
Right. So the focus of my blog, as you mentioned earlier, and thanks so much for that shout out, is teaching people to live from the inside out to build more resilient lives. So if I can, let me quick contrast living from the inside out with living from that outside in, which is how I think a lot of us learn to live. And this ties to resilience and what people can gain from my blog. So a lot of us, as we grow up, we learn to stop trusting this inner voice, this playful voice, this resilient voice that urges us to become bigger versions of ourselves. And we become very scared. We start listening to all of these voices that are external to us that tell us how we should live, what we should do, what we should think, what we should feel. And we get cut off from our inner voice. Now, granted, we have to listen to some external authorities, because as we're children, that's how we learn. But what we're supposed to do as human beings is grow from this dependence on others into this fully realized version of ourselves, where we're listening to our voice, we're connecting to our intrinsic worth, we're honoring it, we're being playful and curious, and we are encouraging that in everybody else so that we can build a more resilient life together. So I write at Love is Stronger. I try to teach people how to embrace their intrinsic worth, connect with their purpose, and cultivate flourish friendly relationships. And when we do those things, what we're doing is we're living from the inside out, and we're letting other people live from the inside out. And Lamar, I think when we do that, that's when we are able to solve these problems in the world that you mentioned that we're struggling with so much. Right now, we have, unfortunately, a lot of solutions that are causing more fear and hatred. And I think that's a result of living from that outside in. But when we live from the inside out, we're living from that space of playfulness, of love, of hope, of courage, of critical self-reflection. And that's when we become more resilient as individuals and societies, and we solve these problems in a more creative way. So that's what people can learn about at my blog, is how to live from the inside out to become more resilient together.
Well, Shelly Johnson, I can talk to you forever. It's been an honor hanging out with you, but I don't want to just share I don't want to be selfish and just keep you to myself. How can my Sound Bomber listeners get in contact with you if they want to purchase your book, if you want to check out your blog, and if they want to read some of your amazing writings that I've also been blessed to read as well?
Oh, thank you so much. That's so kind. Well, first of all, you can find my blog at shellypjohnson.com. So Google, come hang out at Love is Stronger. So right now I just have posts up, but very soon I'm going to be having some courses and some eBooks available that that teach folks how to do this. So I will love for people to stop by and look at those things. I would also love to give a shout out to Classical Academic Press, which is the press that has published my three books that you mentioned, Argument Builder, Discovery of Deduction, and Everyday Debate. And I really recommend Everyday Debate for just the average everyday person to start with. So Classical Academic Press has so many beautiful books to sell. Mine are specifically logic books, but I recommend you check them out. They are an amazing press. I also recommend that you connect with Tiny Buddha. So that's where my article was published that you read, Lamar, the one on perfectionism and playfulness. So look up Tiny Buddha. You can look Shelley P. Johnson there and find my article and a bunch of articles. And I'm excited. I'll probably be writing more articles for Tiny Buddha in the future. Lastly, on my blog, if you look at the About section, you can find my email address. It's shelleypruittjohnson@gmail.com. Please feel free to write me. I'd love to chat with you. And you can find me on LinkedIn too.
Shelly, what impact do you want to have on the world?
Yeah, so Lamar, honestly, I think the impact that I want to have is what I blog about. I want to help people live from the inside out. I want them to be able to cultivate these virtues of love, compassion, of playfulness, of critical self-reflection, and hope. And in doing that, I want to create a more loving and just world together. And that is 100% possible. Sometimes people feel like that's a naive goal, that we can create a more just, loving world. No, just creating a more just, loving world is believing that we can do this together and taking practical steps. So that's what I want to teach people to do.
Well, you are definitely doing it in your writing, your speaking, and also your blogging. So I thank you for hanging out with me today, but you can't leave. The second part of the show is called the Super Bomb Questions, and it's brought to us by Mountain Made. It's different from the first part. This time I'm going to ask you a question. I need you to respond as quickly as possible. The first thing that comes to your mind. So Dr. Shelly Johnson, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. What's your favorite word?
Playfulness.
What's your favorite quote, or maybe a Bible or scripture verse, or maybe a lyric to a song?
Yes. My favorite quote right now is by Paulo Freire, a Brazilian educator, who says we cannot enter dialogue if we do not love the world, if we do not love each other.
What's your superpower?
My superpower is exuberance.
What's your spirit animal?
Yes, my spirit animal is a butterfly.
What moves you to tears of joy?
Seeing the sunlight reflect through the trees in the forest.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
Seeing people of color killed by the police.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
To write and to paint.
What is the book or books you've given most as a gift, and why?
I've given Paulo Freire's Pedagogy of the Oppressed and Brené Brown's The Gifts of Imperfection. And I've given these books because Paulo Freire teaches us how to create a more humanized world together, and he's greatly influenced me. And Brené Brown teaches us how we don't have to be ruled by shame, and how we can accept ourselves as we are.
What values do you live by every day?
I live by Christ's teaching to love our neighbor as ourself. And I also live by the teaching Augustine has, love and do as you will.
What's your morning routine outside of all the biological things that we all must do? What is Dr. Shelly Johnson's morning routine?
My morning routine is to write, to go on a walk, and to drink some coffee, and to hug and kiss my husband.
Shelly Johnson, if you were in the Mrs. America talent competition, what would your talent be?
Well, probably hula hooping and juggling at the same time right now. That's probably my most impressive one.
Well, Shelly Johnson, it's been an honor hanging out with you in the Bomb Shelter today. I know I was blessed, and I'm sure my listeners in the Sound Bomber community was just as blessed as well. So I thank you for hanging out with me today.
Thank you, Lamar. It's a pleasure to be here. I'd love to give a shout out to Georgetown College, where I work in Georgetown, Kentucky. It's one of the best kept secrets in Georgetown. It's a lovely little college, and I want to thank them for how they make my work possible.
And I could not do this without my amazing engineer. So I want to thank Alexander Blanc, my super duper producer, Nicole Klempaka, Supremacy for our theme music, and all of you for listening. Make sure you subscribe. Leave a comment. We want to hear from you and stop being stingy and share me with all of your friends, because we're on every platform. If you want to know more about me, go to drlds.com, drlds.com. And as always, believe that something wonderful is about to happen and that some people miss the message because they're too busy looking for the mess, but not you, because you've been listening to Sound Bombing. Make it a great day. Be well and be kind. Peace. Final thought number one. Remember, lowering your standards does not mean having no standards. The goal is to never make you become careless in life and perform poorly all the time. Realistic standards are standards that can actually help you do your best without costing you things that may be important to you, such as family life, physical, spiritual, and mental health, and leisure time. Final thought number two, it's okay to ask for help. Sometimes it is difficult to know how to lower an unrealistic standard to be more reasonable level. It is a good idea to ask a supportive person who does not have problems with perfectionism to help you with setting new realistic standards. Thanks for listening. Peace.
The Super Bomb Questions are brought to you by Mountain Made CBD. Mountain Made is changing the CBD game by offering a line of high-dose CBD tablets at an affordable price. Their products are THC-free and third-party tested for accuracy, cleanliness, and potency. Their products, which ship nationwide, include Build for CBD saturation, Boost for precision titration, and Recover for rest and rehab. With 9 years experience in hemp and fitness, Mountain Made's founders are focused on creating a quality product to help those who live an activated lifestyle. Check out mountainmade.life. Again, that's mountainmade.life to find out more about how their products can help you crush life. Remember, their products ship nationwide. Go check out their website today and follow them on social media at Mountain Made. That's the @ MNTMADE. Our staff at Sound Bombing uses Build before our morning workout, which helps to push our bodies to a whole new level on a daily basis. Try Build, try Boost, try Recover. Our staff is using these products to enhance our active lifestyle naturally, and we are crushing life with Mountain Made CBD. And you can too. Start today by going to mountainmade.life and ordering Build, Boost, Recover, or the multitude of other products that they have, which will enhance your lifestyle. I promise you, you won't regret it.